Okay, so it's hard to change our habits, and when we are, especially when we were in the shadow of toxic cultures, but it is possible. So welcome to this episode where we will be discussing what's going on with habit change and habit changes and some of the reasons why it's so hard to implement. So often when we're feeling down and frustrated, it's common to start reflecting on our life and start assessing it, thinking about making some changes. But in the midst of external influences and societal pressures, identifying our true feelings can be quite difficult. So you may have spent years meeting societal expectations and checking off boxes. And with the goalposts constantly widening, the older we get, the more pissed off and resentful we get, and it can become difficult to keep up mentally and physically. So perhaps you now find yourself years later feeling physically unwell, dealing with yet another relationship breakup, these are examples, facing a health diagnosis, reaching milestones and feelings of sadness, and maybe the nest is emptying. There are loads of circumstances that prompt us to reflect more deeply about what is not working for us. So, but rather than confronting these emotions directly and listening to our inner guidance, we often find ourselves getting sidetracked and struggling to comprehend how we arrived at this point. And due to the years of conditioning from society, we try to rationalise by telling ourselves that things would be okay if only we just start doing something differently or try harder. So we start searching for quick fixes on Google, going down the rabbit hole, trying to suppress some of these uncomfortable feelings that are coming up with that pecky internal voice pushing us towards self-abandonment yet again. So... Sorry, many of my clients come to me after years of suppressing feelings and soldiering on with an initial strong determination to change their habits. So they'll come to me, to my studio, and they'll say, Gem, I'm going to do it this time. They're eager, willing, and they want to bring the positive transformations into their lives with the best of intentions. So they're focused on moving away from pain quickly, and these temporary uncomfortable feelings, they just want them gone. And they think that another quick fix, steering clear of relationships completely, maybe this time, shedding weight faster, just being even more disciplined, that's all they need to do, reduce alcohol consumption, quit altogether, take up yoga because they heard that was all the rage, even though they don't even like it. So they are shocked when I tell them there is no quick fix. So for all the years of self-abandonment and the first thing they need to do is just stop and take a breath and just relax and let me make you a green tea. So I tell them all that all quick fixes are bullshit and actually for sustainable habit changes, they actually inhibit us. So it's what these toxic cultures rely on to ensure we keep coming back for more by paying for the privilege with our money and ultimately our health to get the next fad diet, beauty treatment, night out or wellness retreat that promises us the world, it's going to change our life forever this time. So obviously, when we get up to the age of 40 plus, we start realizing what the hell is going on. None of these fixes have worked. Like, I'm still at even square one, you know, or I've got a bit further, but, you know, I'm not where I want to be. But they're designed to keep us prioritising the superficial validation from society, leading to more dissatisfaction, more tick-boxing bullshit, and more pain, and have the opposite effect long-term changes for you as a unique individual. So I've fallen for these traps numerous times over the years. I've been enticed by deceptive marketing claims, false promises, unethical coaches and therapists that offer quick fixes and false promises. And all they did was prolong my pain, pretending they had all the answers. So be very wary of anyone promising quick fixes. It's absolute crap. It's a huge red flag and it's cloaked in toxic culture. So let's be honest, for most of us, our primary goal is to attain happiness and inner peace. Right? That's ultimately what we want. We want to be at peace and we want to be happy. So we want immediate comfort. But focusing on quick solutions only traps us in repetitive cycles, often returning to square one after a week, several months, or even years later with a persistent sense of emptiness. And it gets harder and harder to come back from as the years go by. So, for instance, despite the strict diets that we might have been on, the detoxes that seem to initially work, the weight will gradually return. The new relationships, old issues will resurface if our own patterns have not been looked into. You might get the so-called beach body that you crave, only to still feel like shit in your core all holiday and watching what you eat again as soon as you're home. You may stop drinking but still feel empty or void in some way and think, sat this, and you start drinking again. Or you may present yourself to the world as a boss babe and you've got it all together when really you are actually falling apart inside. And you just rebound yourself, rename yourself as a new age enlightened guru after you start taking up yoga and breath work, drinking cacao, icing your bits off in the cold water every morning. But it's a lie. You know it. I know it. That's why it's not sustainable for most of us. These quick fixes and just another way of keeping toxic culture alive and well in society. So opting for instant solutions, drastic actions, strict limitations or discipline will bring short-term benefits. It will do. And external approval based on societal expectations. But when this cycle perpetuates for years and sometimes decades in our case, like if we're over 40, each time we start to give up on ourselves a little more and start thinking maybe it's just us. And eventually we get really sick and physically, emotionally and spiritually. So it sounds very depressing and hopeless, but we have the choice to change our habits and take our power back. So that's the fucking truth. But it's not easy. And that's the truth. It's not easy. And anyone or anything telling you that it is an absolute liar. Yeah, I said it. They're a liar, liar, pants on fire. So accepting the reality that there are no quick fixes and no right way to heal is the first step, and realizing only then that we can realizing only then can we begin to awaken from societal misinformation that we've been fed for years. So it's essential to seek support from the right individuals that are genuinely open to learning. And we will talk about what it means to be open to learning in future episodes, because that is really, really important to finding your PT, health coach, nutritionist, anyone that you go to for help. So it's a minefield out there with numerous gurus, coaches and self-proclaimed experts spouting misinformation and half-truths everywhere we look. It's so fucking annoying. It's taken me decades to find the right path for me and cut through the noise. So one bad experience can easily lead us back to our comfort zones and coping mechanisms, making us feel as though there is something inherently wrong with us. That's false. The issue lies with society as a whole. There is nothing inherently wrong with any of us. It's been designed for us to blame ourselves and how toxic culture consumes us. But if you truly are open to learning and want to heal your whole health, there is work for you to do. So I hope you're still with me, because it's a hard pill to swallow. And hearing someone say that you are the only one that can ultimately heal your whole health can be triggering, and it's easy to pass off as new age nonsense when all we want is someone to help us, tell us what to do. We don't want to be alone on the journey. So, you know, and this does not mean that you're going to be alone. There are so many genuine, fantastic coaches and therapists out there, and people willing to support you authentically. And once you get on your healing journey, it's easy to spot the dickheads. So I know this because I found them along my own journey all over the world over the last decade. So at the end of the day, we all need love to thrive, and that is a fact. So when we abandon ourselves in various ways, and by abandoning ourselves, I mean judging ourselves, numbing out with addictions, and making others responsible for our self-worth. Like, for example, I wouldn't feel like that if I wasn't with this awful person who makes me feel like shit, right? No, we're not going down that road today. So rather than learning to love ourselves, we have this empty hole within us that wants to get filled with love all the time. So we have tried to fill this hole in various ways, with food, alcohol, drugs, sex, porn, overwork, toxic relationships, TV, internet, social media, beautifying, that's a big one at the moment, and spiritual bypassing for years. We become focused on getting love and approval from others to fill our emptiness, because that is what we have been taught how to, you know, what we need to do. So when we are not loving ourselves authentically, our wounded ego is in charge. And this is when we are easily manipulated by the toxic cultures that surround us, and toxic individuals waiting to take advantage. And not even just that, also toxic individuals that don't want us to grow. They want us to stay at this level because they are not open to learning, and they do not want to grow. So that is another episode. But basically, this is why awareness of the toxic cultures is so important. So I'm so sorry, I keep coughing. I have pinpointed four toxic cultures through my work and on my journey that are detrimental to our whole health. So today I'm going to skim over them, delving deeper into each one in other episodes. So if any of these toxic cultures strike a chord with you, feel free to share how you feel. Don't feel silly. Just write a comment, message me, DM me, and just say, oh my God, Gem, that, oh my God, I didn't even realise. You know, just get it out. So, okay, so let's go for number one, and it's got to be diet culture. So in society, there are numerous myths and assumptions surrounding food and weight, and often associating thinness with health and wellness, and labelling food as either good or bad. This mistaken belief system has created a moral hierarchy based on body sizes and shapes, which tends to idolise thinness and promote negative attitudes towards fat. This pervasive influence typically begins during our teenage years, especially for girls, or even earlier, distorting not only our self-image but also our perceptions of others. It is essential to acknowledge that the culture of dieting can be detrimental to whole health, yet weight loss should not be vilified. So we're going to go deeper into that in another episode. So number two, beauty culture. So embarking on my cosmetology journey at 16, I was captivated by every facet of the industry. However, societal norms had ingrained in me the belief that appearance outweighed physical and emotional well-being. So this profession reinforced the idea that beauty determined one's worth. While we often hear affirmations like, everyone is beautiful because you're worth it, the underlying implication was that one must conform to a specific standard for this to hold true. With ever-changing ideals, I found myself puzzled over the years as constant alteration proved unattainable. So from hairstyles to fashion to makeup, the message remained clear: conform or fall short. So that's why by the time we get to 40, we're like, hang on a minute, do I need a big bum? Do I need a small bum? Do I need this? Do I need that? We've gone, you know, where we don't know if we're coming or going. So fast forward to 2024, we observe the rapid unraveling of this cycle of deception. And what was once seen as undesirable is now repackaged as fashionable. So perpetuating a cycle of manipulation, beauty culture at its core presents a deceptive facade. True beauty resides within us, touched, untouched by societal norms. This doesn't imply neglecting self-care, but rather understanding the underlying reasons behind it and why we are doing it and how it's affecting us is so important. So number three, drinking culture. So the significance of this culture lies in its immediate disconnection from our true essence upon consumption. So despite the perceived enjoyment and humour, the drinking culture suggests that we are incomplete without it. So leading to competitiveness and societal pressures. So much like other harmful cultures, this one persuades us of its importance, normalising binge drinking, causing negative impacts on society, such as impaired judgment, mental and physical health issues, and physical harm. And especially for us who were in our 40s, it was massive when we were in our teens. Like, if we weren't drinking, we were a weirdo. And it was hard not to be swooped into that bullshit. So while I enjoy a drink, its profound effect on myself and those around me over the years has been significant, resulting in loss of family, friends and relationships due to the toxic culture. It's not about demonizing it, it's but rather raising awareness of the harmful aspects of this drinking culture and what it can do to us. So number four, wellness culture. So this addition is quite recent, as I've encountered firsthand the negative impact during so-called wellness events infused with toxic wellness culture. So it highlights a concerning trend with harmful effects such as spiritual bypassing, take some notes, emotional avoidance, and the notion that being part of this culture makes one more virtuous and deserving, perpetuating in another hierarchy and more division. So this pattern resembles other toxic cultures where merely conforming and participating does not equate to genuine personal well-being at the core. So this specific toxic culture is gaining a lot of traction because there's a lot of money in it. And obviously where the money is, there's going to be a load of fake fuckers. Okay, so by exploiting people's insecurities and vulnerabilities, it's true the wellness industry can be extremely toxic, and it's crucial for you to be aware of this when making decisions to ensure your safety and well-being when you embark on your wellness journey. These four toxic cultures have a profound influence on the core of our society, posing a significant challenge to overcome. And without sufficient support and accountability, it can be really hard not to stay and ease ourselves out. So we all hold the key to our own happiness, although support from coaches, therapists, personal trainers, wellness people, and various professionals is so valuable. My job is to assist you as you strive for complete well-being, tailored to your individual preferences and needs. And this can only be achieved if you are open to learning about yourself and others, and why I don't just take on anyone as a client. So it's really, really important. So when reflecting on how toxic cultures have influenced your behavior and shaped your life, remember to show kindness to yourself amidst this process. It's not a quick fix, and it's not linear, and there is no destination. So the whole point of healing is to break free from expectations we put on ourselves and others. So I still drink alcohol on occasion. I still have beauty treatments. I still exercise and eat intuitively. And I love the genuine aspects of wellness and everything that it encompasses. And I hope this episode resonated with you. I will see you in the next episode, where we will go deeper into subjects surrounding our whole health by cutting through the crap and the complexity of our whole health journey and enabling you to figure out what's best for you. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can find more information about what has been discussed in the show notes and on my website, complexhealthcoach.uk. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave a comment or review, and I will see you in the next.